spake in the wind-loud darkness, seeing always before her the crystal radiance that had shimmered in the house of death, the soft unburning fire, the stones of the tunnel wall, the quiet face of the man asleep. The Man Trap. Next day, when she had finished with her duties at the various temples, and with her teaching of the sacred dances to the novices, she slipped away to the small house and, darkening the room, opened the spy hole and peered down it. There was no light. He was gone. She had not thought he would stay so long at the unavailing door, but it was the only place she knew to look. How was she to find him now that he had lost himself? The tunnels of the labyrinth, by Thar's account and her own experience, extended in all their windings, branchings, spirals, and dead ends for more than 20 miles. The blind alley that lay farthest from the tombs was not much more than a mile away in a straight line, probably, but down underground nothing ran straight. All the tunnels curved, split, rejoined, branched, interlaced, looped, traced elaborate routes that ended where they began, for there was no beginning and no end. One could go and go and go and still get nowhere, for there was nowhere to get to. There was no center, no heart of the maze, and once the door was locked, there was no end to it. No direction was right. Though the ways and turnings to the various rooms and regions were firm in Arha's memory, even she had taken with her, on her long explorations, a ball of fine yarn, and let it unravel behind her, and rewound it as she followed it, returning. For if one of the turns and passages that must be counted were missed, even she might be lost. A light was no help, for there were no landmarks. All the corridors, all the doorways and openings were alike. He might have gone miles by now, and yet not be 40 feet from the door where he had entered. She went to the Hall of the Throne, and to the Twin God's Temple, and to the cellar under the kitchens, and choosing a moment when she was alone, looked through each of those spy holes down into the cold, thick dark. When night came, freezing and blazing with stars, she went to certain places on the hill and raised up certain stones, cleared away the earth, peered down again, and saw the starless darkness underground. He was there. He must be there. Yet he had escaped her. He would die of thirst before she found him. She would have to send Manon into the maze to find him once she was sure he was dead. That was unbearable to think of. As she knelt in the starlight on the bitter ground of the hill, tears of rage rose in her eyes. She went to the path that led back down the slope to the temple of the God King. The columns with their carved capitals shone white with hoarfrost in the starlight, like pillars of bone. She knocked at the rear door, and Kossil let her in.
"What brings my mistress?" said the stout woman, cold and watchful.
"Priestess, there is a man within the labyrinth." Kossil was taken off guard. For once, something had occurred that she did not expect. She stood and stared. Her eyes seemed to swell a little. It flitted across Arha's mind that Kossil looked very like Penthi imitating Kossil, and a wild laugh rose up in her, was repressed, and died away.
"A man? In the labyrinth?"
"A man, a stranger."
Then, as Kossil continued to look at her with disbelief, she added,
"I know a man by sight, though I have seen few."
Kossil disdained her irony.
"How came a man there?"
"By witchcraft, I think. His skin is dark. Perhaps he is from the inner lands. He came to rob the tombs. I found him first in the undertomb, beneath the very stones. He ran to the entrance of the labyrinth when he became aware of me, as if he knew where he went. I locked the iron door behind him. He made spells, but that did not open the door. In the morning he went on into the maze. I cannot find him now."
"He has a light?"
"Yes."
"Water?"
A little flask, not full.
His candle will be burned down already, Kossel pondered.
4 or 5 days. Well, maybe 6. Then you can send my wardens down to drag the body out. The blood should be fed to the throne, and the...
No, Arha said with sudden shrill fierceness. I wish to find him alive.
The priestess looked down at the girl from her heavy height.
Why?
To make his dying longer. He has committed sacrilege against the nameless ones. He has defiled the undertomb with light. He came to rob the tombs of their treasures. He must be punished with worse than lying down in a tunnel alone and dying.
Yes, Kossel said, as if deliberating. But how will you catch him, mistress? Ah, that is chancy. There is no chance about the other. Is there not a room full of bones somewhere in the labyrinth? Bones of men who entered it and did not leave it? Let the Dark Ones punish him in their own way. In their own ways, the black ways of the labyrinth. It is a cruel death, thirst.
I know, the girl said.
She turned and went out into the night, pulling her hood up over her head against the hissing, icy wind.
Did she not know? It had been childish of her and stupid to come to Kossel. She would get no help there. Kossel herself knew nothing. All she knew was cold waiting and death at the end of it. She did not understand. She did not see that the man must be found. It must not be the same as with those others. She could not bear that again. Since there must be death, let it be swift, in daylight. Surely it would be more fitting that this thief, the first man in centuries brave enough to try to rob the tombs, should die by sword's edge. He did not even have an immortal soul to be reborn. His ghost would go whining through the corridors. He could not be let die of thirst there alone in the dark. Arha slept very little that night. The next day was filled with rites and duties. She spent the night going, silent and without lantern, from one spy hole to another, in all the dark buildings of the place, and on the wind-swept hill. She went to the small house to bed at last, 2 or 3 hours before dawn, but still she could not rest. On the third day, late in the afternoon, she walked out